Well, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2 as I read the first two verses of the second chapter. And I've got to tell you, these verses really hit home with me because I stand here tonight because of them. These verses, particularly chapter 2, verse 2, are Pete's life verse. And you're going to be introduced to Pete before I'm through tonight, because I would not be here if it wasn't for Pete. And that's why the message is entitled For Pete's Sake, because he is now in a rest home. And I hope this sermon goes particularly well. If it does, I'm going to send it to him. If not, I'll wait till I hit it right and send him another one. But this is what these verses say. You then, my son, because you see, he's my spiritual dad, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And here it is. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men, we could add women, who will also be qualified to teach others. That was his life verse. That's what he gave his life to. And because he did, I'm here tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless our time together as only you can. You know how moving and meaningful this verse is to me. So give me utterance that I might make it clear, your people, the reasoning and heart-filled power of the Holy Spirit to receive it. And we do pray that you forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for they are many. We would see Jesus and Him only. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Shortly after I got saved, I became a flaming evangelist. As a matter of fact, I think when you get saved, I need to lock you up for a couple of years until you get over it. I thought everybody had to be saved in the first year of my Christian life, so I aggressively shared the gospel, and a lot of people came to Christ. And this made news because the whole town knew who Steve Cobb was before he got saved, and so it made news when I got saved. And then when people started coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the preacher would pull me up in front of the church and tell everybody, and a guy that was craving for significance, let me tell you, that meant a whole lot. So I was rather proud of myself and pretty much thinking that God was pleased to have me in the kingdom and basically waiting on a vacancy in the Godhead when someone handed me a book entitled Born to Reproduce by Dawson Trotman. Now, for those of you who do not know, Dawson Trotman was the founder of the Navigators, and he worked with Navy Men 101, did such a robust job that Billy Graham came to him and said, I want you to head up the follow-up ministry of my crusades. Will you do it? He said, that's not what God called me to. And Billy said, well, that's what God told me in a dream, so you might ought to rethink it. So Dawson went walking on the beach and concluded that God wanted him to do it, and so he founded the Navigators, and he was the author of this book. And in it was an example of this guy that was bragging about the people he had led to a saving knowledge of Christ. And Dawson said, and I mean, this guy wrote them out. He says, can you write them out? Sure. Got the sheet of paper, wrote out about 20 names of people he had led to Christ. And Dawson says, man, that's great. That's good. 20 people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Tell me something. How many of them do you know are actively and faithful in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today? He said, oh, he started going down the list, and by the time he got through, maybe two on that entire list were actually fruitful and functioning in a local body of believers somewhere. I cannot tell you what a spear went through my soul because I realized that I had led a lot of people to Christ, but to my knowledge, they were not in a church anywhere. Something was wrong. And thus, Dawson formed his whole ministry on Born to Reproduce. Now, I knew this man who was a navigator and now was a member of Christian's Businessmen's Committee. And his name was Pete George. He was famous in the area. And I knew that he met with guys one-on-one So I did not want to waste my life anymore. I wanted to learn how I could reproduce, because since I was born to do it, thought I might ought to get on it as quickly as possible. So I called Pete George and I says, Pete, can you start meeting with me once a week? I want you to disciple me one-on-one because I'm on fire for Jesus. I've gone through Operation Timothy, which was a discipleship program, and I've gone about as far as I can, so I need some help. Would you begin working with me? And he said he would. So that began a four-year relationship where Pete and I met once a week for approximately an hour and a half in the back dining room of Shoney's. And since I came out of a radical partying world overnight into the Christian faith, it literally saved my life, and I would have never been coached and guided to wind up in ministry if it wasn't for Pete George. And then even after I surrendered the way that he encouraged me, I would not be here tonight if it was not for that man of God. See, I could really sing the song to him and mean it with everything in me. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I was a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Now, I heard you're never supposed to trust a singing preacher, so I hope you'll be able to listen to the rest of the message. But I am literally here because of that man today. He gave his life for me, and I thank God that he did. Now, I'll have more to say about him, but you will learn some things that he taught me, because here is his life verse of what he wanted to give his life to. Now, having set it up, I want to remind you of something that Paul's life verse to Timothy communicated here reminds me of Pete's life verse to me, and what I discover while others are falling away, fat people stand their ground. You ready? Now look back up in verse 15. Paul says to Timothy, you know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me. 2 years earlier, the word of God had spread throughout the region. There was an awakening. There was a revival. And now, after all this time, where are all of God's people? Where are the believers? Where are the faithful? Well, they're not there. He says that they've all deserted me, and now they're fixing to behead Paul, and Paul's wanting Timothy to take the baton and continue in the region with a gospel that was experiencing a virtual absolute apostasy. Now, that's not exactly the most encouraging news you've ever heard, but that was the case. And what he's going to demonstrate, Timothy, listen, just what Pete did to me. While people are falling away, folks, did you know that there is a massive falling away from Christianity in your world today? Do you know anything about the statistical data out there that's what going on? People who were active and functioning as supposed believers in the Church of Christ, you can't find in any church anywhere now. It is an epidemic. And one of the reasons that I preach the way I do, nominal Christianity is epidemic in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and will not be rid of in my lifetime, barring a reformation from God Almighty. And I'm asked all the time whether or not I believe that nominal Christians are saved or not. Fortunately, God has not got off His throne and assigned me to be God. It's not my question to answer, but I do know this. I do know that nominal Christianity was never the design of God. He wanted all of us to recognize this truth. Not only was Pete, not only was Steve, but you are born to reproduce. So, if people are falling away, how is it that fat people stand their ground? Well, you need to get over in the margin so you can spell out fat, because this is what Pete said. If you give me these three qualities, Steve, I will revolutionize your life. I just need these three. And he said this, if you don't have them, don't waste my time. I'm too busy. But if you have them, I will give my life to you, and I guarantee you it will revolutionize your life. I like that kind of confidence. He says, first of all, you got to be faithful. Secondly, he says, you got to be available. And third, you got to be teachable. Faithful, available, teachable, and I will rock your world. And by the way, I will yours. If you're faithful, available, and teachable, I guarantee you God will use me to change your life. So I'm looking for some fat people down here. Any fit the bill? Praise the Lord. Fat people. And that's what I want to talk tonight, fat people. Now, I need to lay down two fundamental propositions before I say anything I say tonight. If you miss these two realities, the rest of it you're not going to get. So I have to establish this, and I will textually, but you have to get this in your deep spiritual reality as firm, absolute truth before we begin going through these couple of verses tonight. Are you ready? The first one is this. You're a lot worse than you think you are, but thank God, God's grace is a lot bigger than you think it is. Let me say that again. I'll get more than three amens maybe this time. You are a lot worse than you think you are, but thank God, God's grace is a lot bigger than you think it is. Now, I want you to notice what he says here. In the face of everybody else running for cover and deserting, he says in 2:1, but you then, son, you then, on the contrary, are not to run. You are not to desert. You are to stand firm, hold your ground. You are faithful, available, and teachable. You're the man. Now, why is this so nerve-wracking for a man like Timothy? Because you see, Timothy was so timid and shy. He had a retiring disposition. He would have been voted the least likely to succeed, and you want him, of all people, to take up the mantle? Isn't that fabulous how God just chooses those people that you say, oh, you got to be kidding, God. No, those are the very ones. That's what I love about it. Listen to this paraphrase by John Stott of this very verse here. He says, never mind, he's Paul talking to Timothy, never mind what other people may be thinking or saying or doing. Never mind how weak and shy you yourself may be. As for you, Timothy, be strong. There is nothing in my normal personality that lends itself to be a preacher. I don't like controversy. I don't want to be argumentative and combative. I don't want to declare and come across perhaps that I'm being your mother. I would just soon be comfortable and go fishing and enjoy a few good friends. Y'all do what you want to do. Today, I couldn't believe it. I went to Books A Men to get me a cup of coffee to have just a few moments of peace. Notice that the English Standard Version Bible had come out, and I wanted to read the preface and see what the translators did by way of science. I'm over there drinking my coffee, minding my own business, and this man comes up seeing me read the Bible, and he's ready to take me to task. So I sit there, and he starts with Constantine and Rome and Alexander the Great and biblical translation and the Catholic Church. I just sit there with my mouth shut, and boy, I was right with him. I said, in a minute, you're going to be quiet, and I'm going to come at you, so keep on going. So he kept going, and then I said, hey, sit down right over here. Let me share with you a little bit. And so I took about 20 minutes, and the end of which, he looked at me, he says, you've been to divinity school, haven't you? But this is just not me. Every Sunday, every Wednesday before I get up here, I have this premonition, you're going to just utterly fail tonight. And when I get through, I usually believe it's been realized. And so there's nothing about me that lends itself to do what I do for a living. And if any of you know me on a personal level, you know this is the truth. And so whenever you see me get up here, whatever you think about it, if the power of God comes to me in any degree, if you get anything from God while I'm up here, you have seen a bona fide miracle. But the one thing that I learned, that I am a lot worse than I think I am, and I'm pretty rough on myself, I can get so morose that people get sick of hearing it and will tell me to shut up. But I'm worse than that. But one thing that Pete got across to me that made me dangerous was this: God's grace is a lot bigger than I think it is. And I live by grace. Another fundamental proposition that I need to establish before I get anywhere tonight is this. Now, how many of you know Louise Hassell? 86 years old, utterly beautiful, takes care of a husband, bakes me cakes, unbelievable woman. 86 years old. This next statement is a statement she shared with me and she lives by, and it's taught in this text. She says, let me make sure I got it right, the will of God won't lead you where the grace of God can't keep you. Hey, go ahead, tell me, that's good. Now, notice what he says here. He says, you then, my son, what? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I wish they would have translated this a little different, because this isn't a passive voice. And so it's not the subject doing the acting, the subject's being acted upon. So a better rendering would be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, he has to be strengthened by that which is outside of him, namely the grace of God through the Spirit of God that is within him. So he says, you, my son, you're not going to desert like the rest of these apostates. You're going to run right at them, right towards them, right against them. You are faithful, available, and teachable. And the reason you will do it is because the grace of God that is within you will continue to strengthen you and supply you with strength. So if you got those two facts down, we're ready to move through this whole metaphor of being fat people. Are you ready? Let's dig in. First of all, you will stand firm by letting a fat person love you. Okay? Dead silence always blesses a preacher's heart. He says here, he says, you then, my son. That's beautiful. In Timothy chapter 2, or no, Philippians chapter 2, he says, but you know that Timothy, my son, has worked with me in the work of the gospel. He was his spiritual son. Paul was his spiritual dad. My son. I've been heavily influenced by a lot of people. My father. My home pastor, Dr. Johnson. Steve Brown, Jack Taylor, Dallas Willard. Profound impact on my life. John Stott. Professors, Haddon Robinson, we still email to this day. But no one, my brother, no one compares to the impact Pete George had on my life. They pale into insignificance in comparison. Every week, that man met with me. He got me memorizing Scripture. As a matter of fact, he would just beam as I would quote him Scripture every week. I had been discipled, a little preliminary stuff. So what did he do? I started coming to him and I would present my problems to him, and he would open up the Bible and show me the answer. And that would be I had me a little notebook and I'd take notes on it. And he trained me in my mind that whenever you have problems, go to the Word of God, know how to search it, how to learn it, how to master it as best you can, to find your answers. And when you do, receive it as what it is, the Word of God. He loved the Word of God. He said, Steve, outside of the Bible, I've read about 5 books in my life. That amazed me. And no one have ever met new Scripture greater than he. But he knew the Bible. And he taught my young, impressionable, young believer mind that you go to that Word and you get your answers, and so much is caught rather than taught. Just by watching how much confidence he had in the Word of God changed my life. And you know how many times I've said it. This doesn't simply contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. One of the things the brother told me today said, you know, they're finding out now that all these councils and humans made decisions to put the Bible together. He says, and they don't even know if it's all the real thing. Everything is suspect. And I said, no, not everything is suspect. Not everything is suspect. Namely, the people that you are reading who are trying to discredit the Word of God are not suspect. You've already bought them hook, line, and sinker. Let me put you in on some resources that can show you that this is the absolute inerrant Word of God. And if historicity has any meaning to you, like you've attached to those critics that don't believe it's the Word of God, I guarantee you, you'll get your mind blown. How about that? Let me buy you another cup of coffee. It's the Word of God. There were times that I wanted to quit and walk away, and that man would encourage me. There were times that I was out of line, beating a drum about something, and he would rebuke me. The things that I saw him go through and the godly integrity, I saw it. He was called to be a staff member at a church, and the pastor got jealous of him because he's getting too much notoriety. And he wound up being fired, and they tried to scandalize him. And when he sat before the committee that was dressing him down, he didn't say a word. And his wife got mad at him for not saying a word. And she said, "Why didn't you say anything?" He says, "Because he committed no sin and no deceit was in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." Why did he do what he did there? He not only taught me the Word of God, he lived it. And a lot of things are more caught than they are taught. And so 4 years, I can't even begin to touch the hem of the garment. That man changed and indeed revolutionized my life. Notice what Paul says here to Timothy. "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses." Man, let a fat person love you. Faithful. Available, teachable, go for it and find out just what happens. But not only that, you stand your ground by being a fat person. Now look at what he says, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses," watch this, "entrust to reliable men or women." That's fascinating. I remember I was teaching this in a Bible study one time, and this boy got all upset about it. He says, "Well, what about the rest of them? I said, "The skinny ones?" I says, "Think about it. Can you help anybody that doesn't want help? Can you force it on them? Can you do what God doesn't even do when that will is involved?" I mean, one thing's that Celebrate Discovery has to learn very, very soon is that, friend, you've got to want it, and you've got to want it badly. Because you're going to lapse again and again and again till it becomes the very breath you breathe. You're going to get out of this. You got to get out. You know, I said right after I got saved, there's only two things that kept me from going back. Because everything in me wanted to go back. All my friends, "Come on, Steve, you're the life of the party. We want you back. We want you back." I said, "I know. You got to miss me." But I couldn't go back. Glad you laughed. I was scared for a minute there. You didn't know it was a joke. But there were two reasons I didn't realize then, because it was the first year of my Christian life, that I learned later as I learned about the Holy Spirit. One of them was this, folks. Even though I wanted to go back terribly so, I just couldn't. I couldn't. I can't fully explain that, but I just couldn't for some reason. It was the Spirit. Then the other thing is, I said, "You know what? This is just innately in my heart, put there by the Spirit. If I hang on, it will get better one day." And it did. And you just take it a day at a time, don't you? I love that prayer you prayed, and I loved your testimony Monday night, man. I'll tell you right now, Jesus shows up here on Monday night. You know why? It's earthy. It's real. It's authentic. Authentic, and I sense His presence here. We all know we're worse than we think it is, and that His grace is a lot better, bigger than we think it is. And I'll tell you right now, one thing that Jesus could not tolerate is hypocrisy, because he knew that if you didn't realize you needed a doctor, you couldn't get better. And that's why he said, I have come for the sick. Because that's why also Steve Brown says, if you can get out of denial, you can ignore 90% of what I say and get better. Get honest with God brutally. Come to him just as you are, and you will walk away a different person. I will guarantee you that. So, I am preaching to a crowd of people, different backgrounds, educationally, cultural, spiritually, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. But my hope is that you fat ones out there, the faithful, available, and teaching, you're receiving this. You're growing. You're getting on fire for a purpose. See, I'm here to feed fat people. I'm here to feed the rest of you too. But I'm feeding you to get you to start gaining weight. Will you be a fat person? I want to preach such an image of God that you get hungry for God. See, the last thing I said to that brother today, I said, you know what, you're asking great questions, but you're not going far enough. Keep going. Keep digging. I love your heart, your passion. Don't give up. He says, I might come by and talk to you sometimes. I say, come on. Come on. Because you have a hunger in your heart that only God could put there, folks. That's good that he's asking questions. He's wanting to get to the bottom of the truth. So, I'm after you. I'm a fat person. I am. You know, you say, you know, preacher, I think it's a little arrogant. I don't care what you think. The truth of the matter is I'm a fat person. I am starved for this stuff. By the grace of God, remember my two propositions that I set? By the grace of God, I live to be faithful, available, and teachable. You know, one of the things about all the formal training I've had that's made me realize? I'm a lot dumber than I thought. The more I learn, the more there is. And I was thinking the other day, the latest Hubble telescope stuff and out in space, it'll just make you dizzy when you think about it. You know, they want to use that to show us how small and puny and insignificant we are. And I said, oh, no. You got it wrong. God's wanting you to see how infinite and vast and spectacular he is, so we might praise him and worship him and thank God, who is man that you should be mindful of him. Glory in his holy name. That's what I think. So yeah, I'm a fat person. But you know why I think I'm a fat person? Because I let a fat man love me. Did you know every theological position I held was challenged and wrestled with when I was in seminary? By the time I got through 3 years later, all of my foundational beliefs were held intact, precisely as Pete George had taught me. That shows you the power of establishing folks in the faith. And I see that as my responsibility. Third, you can stand your ground by not only letting a fat person love you by being a fat person, but by feeding fat people. Are we there? One more. And then by living to make people fat. You ready? And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men or women who will what? Also be qualified to teach others. Is Jeff Connell here tonight? There you are. Boy, if you weren't, you'd have been in trouble. Jeff senses a calling in ministry. He was asked to preach recently up in Pennsylvania. He brought me the tape back. I think someone had a tape recorder out there on the third or fourth pew recording him, so I could hardly hear it, and I had to really turn it up. But he preached a sermon. And the thing that so blessed me about that, Jeff, was I did not realize until that moment how much you had been listening. He referred to the kingdom of the heavens. And he was laying it on about the kingdom. You will see in the upcoming Compass, John Barron, whose wife recently died of cancer, wrote a letter and wanted me to critique it to see if it was okay to go into the Compass. He sent it to me. And he was talking about living in the kingdom of now in that experience. It was just utterly mind-boggling. Susie Barnhill is so excited about the kingdom. If you ask me, do you think Susie will go to heaven? And I'd tell you, yes, she don't run past it. Susie is so excited about the kingdom of God. Not only has she read the things I've recommended, she's gone beyond that. She's listened to sermons, and she's wrestling with understanding the kingdom better. And I think of where we started 7 years ago, where I had to start as a preacher. I had to retain most of what I had, and it just killing me. And people talking about, you know, felt need preaching and not going too deep, not going in series beyond six. And, you know, that's a little problem when you're going through the book of Romans. You need about a year and a half, 2 years to preach it. But I discovered that was a bunch of phooey. That's a Hebrew term. And that people were hungry for the Word of God. They wanted to go deep and wide. So I started working piece by piece by piece, and now it utterly staggers me what I can get into with when it comes to these people. Matter of fact, people who get our tapes elsewhere or download them from, if they get any of the deep ones, they go, ooh, it's a little over my head. And I said, yeah, over your head, but not the people at Temple's heads, you see. See, they've made a decision to be faithful, available, and teachable. We have decided we are not going to drink milk the rest of our lives. We're going to get out a fork and a knife, and we're going to get in and some meat. Amen? Amen. And so, see, I could go on and on and on. Some of you Bible study teachers and some of your interaction, wherever it is, it is simply amazing to me, the stories you come back to me, some things you're having to confront, get involved with, and how you can stand flat-footed and handle yourself in the faith. You see, you're getting established in the faith. Barbara Jean Price doesn't even know I know this. She gave me one of the greatest compliments this week, and it's so good, there's no way you're not going to hear it. How long were you a member of your last church? 60 years. And how long have you been a member of this church? 3 years. This is a statement. She says, I have learned more in 3 years of being at Temple Baptist Church than I did all 60 years of my other church. Barbara, that will carry me about a millennium. Thank you. Let a fat person love you. Let me love you. Be a fat person. Make other people fat. Live to make them fat. Enthrall them with the God you know by the word you say and the life you live. Live a contagious life. And I think you are. I think that's why people are coming here. And I want you to know, I commend you tonight. And Pete, if you hear this tape, I love you. Thank you for all you've done. And this tonight was for Pete's sake. Father, in the name of Jesus, praise you. Praise your holy name for the faithfulness, availability, and teachableness of your precious people. And all of God's people said,